Welcome to the Unveiled Christ to the World broadcast with Reverend Judith Ann Glass. For over 40 years, the prophetic ministry of Brother and Sister Glass have gone around the world bringing the living Word of God to multiply thousands of people. Get ready to receive a fresh message of faith and hope that will bring you into new dimensions of the love of God. You can be that overcomer God has called you to be as you behold Him, the Unveiled Christ, in all of His matchless glory. Listen now to the whole Word for the whole man to the whole world, ministered in the power and anointing of God's Holy Spirit.
You don't have any problem that a miracle from God can't solve. Greetings, radio family. This is Sister Judith, and I thank you for joining me today as we've been dealing with a subject of anger. And what we've been looking at what the Word has to say about the unrighteous anger of man. We've looked at a number of scriptures. I shared some scriptures that could be helpful, such as the wrath of man worketh not the righteousness of God. That's James 1 and 20. Psalm 37 and 8, cease from anger and forsake wrath. Fret not thyself in any wise, in any way, to do evil. And what we want to do today, as I've shared, I've been in a teaching mode these last several days, is to look at righteous anger. And you may be surprised at some of the scriptures that address this very subject. Now, what is righteous anger? That is the upset, if you will, the indignation. In fact, that's a good word to use. One of the definitions of indignation is righteous anger at what one considers unfair, mean, or shameful. It is defined by God's Word. And so, when we see or hear or experience situations that are contrary to the Word of God or attack the name or person of the Lord, we are to have a certain response, and that is righteous anger. And of course, so often we need to make sure it is righteous anger. We must measure that response by the Word of God. Ask God, because many times the anger we experience has nothing to do with the Lord. It's our own upset, our own offense, our own wounding, something that relates to something we are presently going through, whether it's anger at a person or anger at an inanimate object. And that, you know, frequently we take out anger at whatever the source of that anger or frustration is. Now, I want to share some scriptures with you. Proverbs 25 and 23 says, "The north wind driveth away rain, so doth an angry countenance a backbiting tongue." I mean, how many times have you read that? Do you really understand what it's saying? So this is scriptural advice on how to deal with backbiters or talebearers. It says an angry countenance. That just as a north wind drives away rain, as we, at least that statement is saying, and probably does, I don't know much about weather conditions, but it will drive away rain. So doth, generally there's a lot of wind connected with it. Anyway, nonetheless, we're focusing on what an angry countenance will do. It will drive away a backbiting tongue. Now, I want to share some other scriptures with you. Let's look at what Proverbs 8 and 13 says. It says, "The fear of the Lord..." This is amazing. When you hear the fear of the Lord, there's many different definitions in the Word about the fear of the Lord. So often, perhaps the most common we think of, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, right? And that's certainly true. But have you ever heard this as a definition of fear of the Lord? Proverbs 8 and 13, "The fear of the Lord is to hate evil, pride, and arrogancy, and the evil way and the froward or perverse mouth do I hate." That's pretty strong. And let's go further. Let's look at what David had to say. And we find his response in Psalm 139 And let's look at verses 21 and 22. Again, should you be taking notes, Psalm 139, verses 21 through 22. This is David speaking, and he's speaking about the wicked, as just proceeding, "Surely thou wilt slay the wicked, O God. Depart from me, therefore, ye bloody men, for they speak against thee wickedly, and thine enemies take thy name in vain." He says, Do not I hate them, O Lord, that hate thee? We're talking now about righteous anger. And am I not grieved with those that rise up against thee? This is the Authorized King James. Verse 22, I hate them with perfect hatred. I count them mine enemies. And if your delicate spirit kind of recoils at that, we have to understand it was sin and evil and wickedness that sent Jesus to the cross to die the cruelest of death, one of the most inhumane ways of bringing death to a person, slow and lingering, sometimes taking many days for that to occur. It was one of the most horrific punishments the Roman Empire could devise against those that would rise up against it. And so he says, I hate them with perfect hatred. I count them as mine enemies. The very next verse, we sing this, and we quote it, "Search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my thoughts," verse 24, "and see if there be any wicked way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting." You see, that was his response, and he was willing to go before the Lord and say, "Lord, if there's anything that I've said, done that displeases you, search me, convict me, Holy Spirit." And so, why? Because God is a merciful, loving, gracious God. He's so tender with us. He puts up with us. My goodness, he's so long-suffering. And he's dealing with all mankind that way. Only God, who is the ultimate judge, the sovereign Lord, knows what is going on in the heart of every individual. And those who at the end of days will literally refuse to come to God, to recognize their basic innate nature, which is evil, because we have inherited that sin nature from our first parents, Adam and Eve. Until we are willing to repent and to recognize it's the Spirit of Truth that would reveal our true condition. And unless that person repents, God has no choice. They make the choice of where they're going to spend eternity. And so, beloved, we have to hate wickedness. I'm not saying we go to react or try to kill someone. I'm not saying that. But I'm saying that should be our spiritual and emotional stance against the wicked. The soul of righteous Lot was grieved with those round about him as he dwelt in the area of Sodom and Gomorrah. And so that was David's response. And then let me give you, if that's, out of the mouth of two or three witnesses, let every word be established. Let's go and see what Numbers 25, and I'm going to read verses 1 through 13. And let me just say, this was the episode right following the encounter with Balaam, who was hired by Balak to curse the Israelites. He was a prophet, but he loved the wages of unrighteousness, as we find out later in the New Testament, and we can see in the Old. But it says, Israel abode in Shittim, and the people began to commit whoredoms with the daughters of Moab. This is important. You see, God's character hasn't changed. Yes, we're under a new covenant, but God is still a holy, just, and righteous God. And he will not, when the new heaven and new earth, there's going to be no unrighteousness in it. So this is a testing time. It's a proving zone, if you will, about what man will choose. Will we choose God? Or there's only one other alternative, to follow in the path of pride and rebellion like the evil angels did and suffer their eternal fate and consequences. Verse 2, and they called the people unto the sacrifices of their God. The people did eat and bowed down to their gods, the very thing God commanded they shouldn't do. Israel joined himself unto Baal Peor, that wicked god who they would cause their children to pass through the fire to sacrifice them, to kill them. And the Lord said unto Moses, take all the heads of the people and hang them up before the Lord against the sun, that the fierce anger of the Lord may be turned away from Israel. Fierce anger, beloved. And Moses said unto the judges of Israel, slay ye every one his men that were joined unto Baal Peor. And behold, check this out. One of the children of Israel came and brought unto his brethren a Midianitish woman, a woman of Midian, in the sight of Moses and in the sight of all the congregation of the Lord of the children of Israel, who were weeping. They at that point were in repentance before the door of the tabernacle of the congregation. In the midst of this, and it says, and when Phinehas, the son of Eleazar, the son of Aaron, the grandson of Aaron, if you will, the priest, saw it, he rose up from among the congregation, took a javelin in his hand, and he went after the man of Israel into the tent and thrust both of them through, the man of Israel and the woman through her belly, and stayed. And so the plague was stayed from the children of Israel, and there were, 24,000 that died. Listen to what God says. This is his analysis. The Lord spake unto Moses, saying, Phinehas, the son of Eleazar, the son of Aaron the priest, hath turned my wrath away from the children of Israel. And while he was zealous for my sake among them, that I consumed not the children of Israel in my jealousy. Wherefore say, behold, I give unto him my covenant of peace, and he shall have it and his seed after him, even the covenant of an everlasting covenant, because he was zealous for his God and made atonement for the children of Israel. So, beloved, that's how God viewed that. And so we need to be zealous for the Lord. Obviously, we are in a different dispensation, but the fact is, this man was singled out because he abhorred the very sin that caused Israel to turn away from God and follow and worship the gods of this world. And so, beloved, that is an indication of how we are to view evil and wicked, not tolerate it. Just say, well, you know, we can say as Stephen, forgive them, Lord, they don't know what they're doing, but that will not change God's judgment upon them unless they will repent. Well, beloved, there's still yet good news to share, so I hope you can tune in tomorrow at the same time. Until then, this is Sister Glass saying, may God's best forever be yours, is my prayer.
You're listening to the Unveiled Christ to the World broadcast. Thank you for joining us. You're invited to write Sister Glass at P.O. Box 577, Caldwell, Idaho. 83606 is the zip code. That's Post Office Box 577, Caldwell, Idaho. 83606 is the zip code. You're also invited to visit our website, unveiledchrist.org. You can learn more about Unveiled Christ there, as well as email Sister Glass. Again, that's unveiledchrist.org. And please remember as you write that your prayers for this ministry are greatly valued, and your tax-deductible gifts of support enable us to keep this radio program on the air. Thank you for joining us today. Until next time, God bless.